Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
This is hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bubble Boys in the studio with me. And then on via the web, we have Jerry the Diver Guy in Virginia. We have the Scuba Cowboy in Denver. And now we are joined by author Eric Douglas in North Carolina. Where? No, Virginia. He's in West Virginia. That's right. Did I got it right?
Greg, you go through this every time.
I know.
Write it down.
I'm not. Right.
Jimmy, give him a post-it note or something.
Wheeling.
Oh, no, not Wheeling. It's just West Virginia. That's all I know.
Well, Wheeling is a city in the state of West Virginia. It's not the city I'm in, but it's a city in the state of West Virginia.
Hints, obvious hints.
So you're saying Bubble Boy is closer than I am, is what you're saying.
Bubble Boy is closer than you are, but that's pretty true most of the time, isn't it?
Well, that's true. You know, the fact that I can remember where I am, let alone anyone else, is icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned. So, look.
Well, you do travel an awful lot, Greg, so.
And you are a professional rum taster.
Yeah, well, I was drinking Sailor Jerry's last night.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons
that's
why.
Good stuff.
The brain cells aren't quite firing the way they should today. But
if we're going down the rum road, Florida Caña for me.
Florida Caña.
Florida Caña rum?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. What year do you like there, Eric? What do you think?
At least the 7 year.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
At least. Yeah.
It makes it smoother, doesn't it? The older,
it
the smoother.
Makes it smoother.
Yeah. All right. Well, we could.
Which is the story I keep telling, too.
Yeah. Welcome to Rum Radio, world's first radio show devoted to rum. But anyway, no, that's just like one of the little side activities that we get ourselves involved in.
Absolutely.
You know, after our diving is done, why not, right? At the Tiki Bar. Yeah, you know, you get to sample a few of those things. But yeah, I had Sailor Jerry's last night. That was the first time. And that's pretty good stuff. It was not bad at all. I think they picked it up at Costco. I don't know where they got it, but I don't know. I don't know if it's that exotic, but it was tasty. It worked. It did its magic and made me feel miserable as usual the next morning.
That's all we need.
Yeah. All right. Well, I digress. Let's get back on track here. Eric is a author. He has this character, Mike Scott, and has written several books. And, I don't know. I'll let you take it from here because, first of all, you got a pretty big announcement for Kindle readers, right?
Well, there's a couple really exciting things going on, but the big one just as of a couple days ago, and I've actually – the only people I've told so far have been the people who've signed up for my mailing list. So your listeners are number two on my list behind my own mailing list. I haven't said anything on social media, anything else.
We're number two. We're number two.
We're number two.
I've heard that.
You can now
a lot of people have called me number two, by the way, but I think that's for a different type of rating or whatever.
And my guess is they haven't used the phrase number two.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. But anyway, I digress again a second time.
But we digress again.
Yeah.
But so there's now, you can get through Kindle, you can get a box set of all five Mike Scott novels and two short stories, all for one price. And it's really about 50% of what it would cost you if you bought them individually.
Very nice.
For $9.99
wow. For five,
five full-length novels.
That's a good deal.
Actually, seven items, five full-length novels, and then two short stories as well for $9.99.
That is so cool.
You can't beat it.
It's a great deal. You know, and you get the Kindle app on your iPad and you can, or whatever, where you have one of those Kindle readers itself. Or either way, you can get this on any electronic media like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the great thing about Kindle is they have the free apps for pretty much any mobile device, or even actually one for your computer as well. You know, if they have a Windows and I assume a Macintosh version of the reader apps, you can read books on your laptop, on your computer, or on any mobile device, on your iPad or tablet, or on your cell phone.
Well, there you go.
For free. Yeah. The app's for free. The book's not.
Right. And you get this at booksbyeric.com. You go there first or the Kindle store or both?
Either way. Right. If you go straight to the Kindle store, you can search for Mike Scott Adventures. The easiest way to search it is Mike Scott Adventures box set.
Box
and that'll
set,
take
okay.
you right to it. Or if you want to go to booksbyeric.com, and I've got the link right there on the page as well.
Yeah. Now, Mike Scott is the character name. We really know this is Eric Douglas. This is what Eric does in his real life. And then he documents it and writes it and plays it off as a novel.
I only wish my life was exciting as
I'm
Mike
hip.
Scott's.
There's some he has some intriguing, I don't know, sexual partner or liaisons, as you would expect with a character like this. A little Bond-esque, you know, so
there
to speak.
Been a few of those.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always a woman in the books, but he's had a run-in with one or two of them.
Yeah, so
both positive and negative.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, so how many of those characters have been inspired by real life encounters there, Eric?
Does can the we Fifth say? Amendment mean anything to you?
No, not at all. This is radio. We can do
this is radio. This isn't legal.
It doesn't count. No, no. Yeah,
I'm still going to play the Fifth.
Yeah, it's cool though. I mean, and he writes really, really well. I mean, if you like any kind of adventure story type stuff, or just, you know, when I read those Mike Scott books, I've said this many times before, it just you really paint a movie type picture in your mind of what's going on, and you could see this on the big screen. I mean, they read like screenplays of a cool adventure movie, like a little Bond type of thing, a little, I don't know, Lethal Weapon element in there maybe or something. I don't know. It's just a little bit of everything, but it's cool. They're great stories, and they have a diving background to them, which makes it really brings it close to home. If you're a certified diver, you can relate to a lot of the elements that Eric throws in there that us divers can definitely connect with even better. So I love that.
The frustrating thing for most of us divers is seeing diving on TV or in the movies and going, you can't do that.
That's right.
That's stupid.
Inaccurate.
And I like to think...
Yeah.
I like to think from my own experience, I've made the diving pretty accurate, but still exciting and adventurous, but nobody's doing a 100-foot dive on a snorkel either.
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, the thing is you could read some of those novels, these Mike Scott adventures, and even if you're not a diver, you would actually pick up a few diving little tidbits. Because he works in little, you know, we do this because of this. You'll get the bends if you go too fast or too deep or mix gases. I mean, all kinds of little things. You just slip them in there, which, like I said, divers can relate to. But even non-divers would maybe even pick up a few things and kind of go, oh, I didn't know that.
I have been told that many times.
Yeah.
Somebody says, you know, I learned something from that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You can't never, you never have taken off your training background. You hear what I'm saying in that regard, Eric? And I mean that as a compliment. That's a good deal. That's a good thing to have. For people to actually pick up.
I spent a lot of time in the dive industry trying to make diving safer, and it's really hard to. I try to moderate it so it doesn't feel like I'm preaching at people, but I try to include what I can in there too.
Absolutely. Well, you do that, and more sexual liaison chapters, and you're good to go for sure. Now I'm in the middle of the Winthrow Key series. Now, was that part of that deal too, or a couple of them?
No, it's not. Winthrow Key, Tales from Winthrow Key is a collection of short stories that, if you remember, 8-9 years ago now, we actually started the very first story in that collection. We actually serialized on scubaradio.com.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Not really.
Down with the ship.
Yeah. No, I do remember, and vaguely. But I'm reading the whole series as one, because you took all these little short stories, put them together in one kind of book to kind of make a complete book. And
exactly.
It's like each short story is a chapter, or as you say at the beginning of this series, it kind of developed into like, hey, this could be a TV series type of approach.
That was the mental image I had with Roki, was that each one was a television show, basically. And so they try to read, I feel they read like if it was an hour television show.
Yeah, that, absolutely. And down there in the Florida Keys, he sets up some of these little bars and places and characters, and you have this picture in your mind, because I've been down there, and it's real easy to relate. I love it. Booksbyeric.com is the website to go to and get some more stuff. Eric, can you hang out a little bit, or you got to go?
Sure. No, I'll be a bit. I can hang out for a while.
All right. We're going to have Eric Douglas and the Scuba Cowboy, Jerry the Diver Guy, Bubble Boy, and many, many more coming up next. Stay close. Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Kevin Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
When you want fun, just read a page from my dive log book. I used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But in this underwater world where we can dive in, should make one give it a try. Said, live and let's dive. Live and let's dive. I said, live and let's dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I would apologize in advance for that, but too late. And you got to take things as they come sometimes here on this show. I am not a singer, and I just proved it, I guess, right?
You sure did, Greg.
I'm not like the Scuba Cowboy who has talent. He's on via the web with us. Pup, I don't know. That went over good enough, I guess, when we played it at the DEMA show. You think? In Orlando a couple years ago?
Which one's that?
The Live and Let Dive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The little satire thing that you put together, that was all right.
Yeah, it was okay, I guess. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
You know, it just, and I should explain that Pup is in Denver, so his opinion may be affected in ways that they can legally do there now.
Are you trying to tell me that I'm 1 mile too high? Is that what you're saying?
Never. I would never say such a thing.
And actually, I don't live in Denver. I live south and east of Denver, so I'm actually at like 7,300 feet, so I'm even higher down here.
Well,
we get higher down in Black Forest. That's the way it is.
You know? Okay. All right. Well, the whole Colorado thing, you know, you can do things legally there that sometimes can affect your judgment. But I just, you know, I'll digress for a third time. Anyway, look, we coming up on the show, we have Brooke, who is the lady behind the Tank Rum project for Fundable. So we're going to get that coming up here in just a bit. But also, Eric Douglas is with us still. And Eric, you know, the one thing I wanted to make sure we got covered today, not only do you got a cool little project with those five books that you just released for $9.95 that you can get at booksbyeric.com, but you also got a new release for Mike Scott that you're getting ready to put out there that's based in the Caymans, right? How much can we say about that?
Greg.
Or did I just give away the farm right there or what?
No. You're good. You haven't stepped over the line yet like you have on times past.
Yeah, but, yeah, right.
No, the next book, Mike Scott, this was actually 2015 is the 10th anniversary of the first Mike Scott novel. Mm-hmm. So the first book was Cayman Cowboys, and that came out. It was set in Grand Cayman, came out in 2005.
Right.
So I figured for the 10th anniversary of that book that Mike Scott would go back to Grand Cayman. And that book will be available. I just finished up the first draft. We're in revisions and editing right now. But that book will be available on or about June 1st. Of 2015. So right in time for the 10th anniversary of the first book.
Excellent. You know, and that's about the time. I don't know if it's been 10 years since we've been to Cayman. And we're actually talking to those folks right now about going back there for their Legends and Lions. Yeah, Legend and Lions festivities that happens, I believe, in September. So we're trying to work that out right now with the Cayman Islands. We'll see if that unfolds. But I don't know. Maybe Mike Scott is me. I don't know. Maybe that was...
I have been following you around.
When I read the books, I can tell you this much. None of that has ever happened to me. So,
Greg, you're Michael Scott.
The one other thing I wanted to say, though, is my plan for probably the first couple months after this new book comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've talked about it on the air, but you've heard about the cruise ship that dropped an anchor and ripped up a bunch of reef,
right?
In Grand Cayman. So the locals are all pitching in. All the divers are pitching their time in and restoring that reef, cleaning it up, and then they're going to reseed it. But they need some money. So my plan is actually to take a portion of the proceeds from this first book for the first couple months and actually donate that to the coral reef restoration efforts in Grand Cayman.
Yeah. Well, and that's great stuff. Cool. And, you know, it's kind of impressive how the local dive community there in Cayman has come together to try to repair that damage. It was a very unfortunate situation that evolved there. And, you know, one of the problems with that, I mean, and just for the record, it wasn't the cruise ship's fault, per se, that ended up creating this damage. They were led in to the Bay of Cayman by a tugboat or something. It kind of, I don't know, took a wrong turn or something to that effect and ended up dragging an anchor over the reef. So it really wasn't the cruise ship's fault, per se. It was really the people guiding them, which was... really, I think it had something to do with the Cayman Islands government. But
yeah, it would have been a pilot from Grand Cayman.
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate situation because of that, the cruise line wasn't responsible, technically. Or couldn't be held accountable to pay for all the restoration, so the local dive operators have come together to kind of do this on their own. And, you know, everybody has really kind of come together quite well, and I think that's a good cause. Good to see people come together, and obviously that needs even more support to get that damage reversed. Now, one of the things related to that, and I have a feeling I'm going to take a minority view here for one of the few times, ever. last week I was talking about my trip where I visited Grand Turk, and I visited Aruba, and I was actually on a cruise ship. And look, I'm not a big fan of cruise ships per se, as far as I'd much rather go to the islands and dive and that kind of thing. But look, you know, they are what they are, and it does expose a lot of people to the to some of these islands that may not have that opportunity to go otherwise. And maybe when they see them, they may want to come back and visit them more often. So I think there's an opportunity to help grow the sport and the activity, that kind of thing. However, this week online, and I don't know, Eric, I'm going to throw this one at you a little bit, too. Maybe you've seen this, because I saw it pop up on Facebook, how they were hammering, there was some kind of press release put out on Facebook about all the cruise ships are polluting the world's oceans, and the sky is falling, and how dare they, and how could you ever patronize such a thing, blah, 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 blah. Did you see any of that?
No, I missed that. It doesn't shock me, but I missed that statement.
Yeah. Well, it was it's one of those things where I don't technically disagree with the thing, but the way they're presenting it and it's being thrown out there, it looked a little bit too one-sided to me. I mean, the cruise ships, do they do a lot of damage? Do they pollute? Of course they do. But so does everything else, and I don't know. It just seemed like a little almost PETA-esque.
I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of cruise ships myself. I've done one cruise, but I'm not a big fan of the travel system myself. But.
Yeah, all right. We'll continue this thought. Stay close. So this Facebook article that I saw, it was actually hammering Carnival Cruise Lines in particular, I think for their Super Bowl ad. And they were claiming, you know, Carnival's the worst polluter of all the cruise lines, blah, 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 you know, this kind of thing. And I don't know, I read it and I was like, wait, this looks a little one-sided and a little, a little shaky to me. It just didn't look... totally fair, you know what I mean? And I'm not a big fan of the cruise ships. They pollute like everybody else, like every other thing, and they definitely have their downside to how they affect different islands from a tourism standpoint. But they're also an opportunity. People get on the cruise ships, and I've been one of them. You know, you go and you see a new place, and I want to go back there and do some diving. So I think it's an opportunity as well for people to see places that they may not be willing to go to, especially initially, because it would be outside their comfort zone. So, I don't know. I see both sides, but this just seemed a little bit one-sided to me as far as attacking them, for, I don't know, waste disposal or whatever the hell the quote-unquote official document that they had that showed that. I mean, it just looked a little fishy to me. Pun intended. I mean, look, we've talked about the Poonami. There's a lot of poo coming out of whales, and I guess you got to put some of this stuff in perspective. You think? I don't know. Yes, Bubble Boy. Yeah, Bubble Boy thinks.
Yeah, basically, they're attacking the cruise line as destroying the oceans, but, you know, what about 4 nuclear reactors that dumped into the Pacific? You know, that's a lot more polluting, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got that, third nipple type of issues.
Exactly.
Goldfish with 3 eyeballs, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know.
10-legged octopus.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Eric, what do you think? Anything, any thoughts on that as well or no?
Well, the only thing I'll add to that is just take anything you read on Facebook and pretty much the internet in general with a big grain of salt.
Exactly.
There's an awful, There's an awful lot of people out there with an axe to grind that the truth never got in the way.
They claim to be an expert, and here's an official document, and when you dig deeper, you realize this is just a propaganda piece of nonsense. But whatever. Take it for what it's worth, which is not much. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
I do like the water.
Oh, water and fish. If you paid half as much attention to me as you do those fish, I'd be the happiest wife in Flatbush.
Give me some water, 'cause I shot a man on the Mexican border. Cuckoo water.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master along with Bubble Boy in the studio. And then Eric Douglas is on via the web with us. He's in West Virginia. Pup, the scuba cowboy, is in Colorado. And Jerry the Diver Guy keeps bumping in and out of the room here, our web room. That's why you keep hearing a little, there's like a dip when he comes in. And he's having some internet issues, and I think that's what happens. When you set up too close to a still, that starts interfering with your
exactly.
internet connection. Yeah, it could be. That could be. But, Pop, I know you'll appreciate this story. Some other folks that are not probably the biggest fans of some of the stuff I've done in the past, but Florida Wildlife Commission. I've had issues with them in the past. They seem to, we won't go there. They actually did something pretty cool this week. And I'm sure it's in honor of me, I'm gonna take it that way. And once again, that'll pretty much secure my my image in their minds. Is that they have set May 16th as a date for a lionfish removal day in the state of Florida. So they're gonna.
Wow.
How about that? And that's my birthday, May 16th. How about that? So, evidently, it'll be Lionfish Removal and Awareness Day. They're going to do this every year, May 16th. And so, this year, on the 16th and 17th, divers across the state will be encouraged to see how many lionfish can be removed from Florida waters in one weekend. They're asked to report their catches via a report lionfish app that's available at myfwc.com/lionfish. And they'll do this this year and from here on out, hopefully. And maybe that'll help. It won't necessarily help knock the lionfish out, but it might give them more information or more data to find out how the lionfish are doing in Florida waters specifically and how they're, getting out there to the reefs and that kind of thing. And at the bare minimum, it'll be a hell of a birthday party for me. You think?
I like this plan.
Yeah. We already have a song. The Scuba Cowboy has his song Bug Hunter, and so we got a theme song. And
that's not bugs. That's lionfish, dude. We're talking about lionfish.
Well, you could
get
do
on your game here.
Well, no, you could. Do
but
some
I have a lionfish song too. You might want to mention that. I have the Lionfish Sure Ain't King. We should play that one while we're out chasing lionfish because that's talking about eating lionfish.
That is what I said in my mind, pup. That's
I know
exactly
but
what
you
I said.
Said. Bug hunter, and that's July. So I didn't want to get people confused.
People have listened to this show long enough to know. When I say
they're
things,
always confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand. Gotcha.
But yeah, so you have a lionfish.
I knew what
song.
You meant.
Yes, I know you did. And so we have a theme song, we have a weekend, we have a birthday, we have a party, it sounds like to me.
It sounds like a perfect plan.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Yeah, and I don't know, have you worked any lionfish storylines to your stories yet there, Eric? This may be something you got to work into the mix here eventually. I know you were throwing something out on Facebook for the best way for a diver to be killed or something for one of your stories. Is that what you were doing? What was that?
No, it was actually how would you booby trap something underwater was the question I was asking.
Ah,
I got some interesting replies. I've mentioned lionfish before, but never really jumped into that whole thing too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could booby trap boobies with a lionfish, and if they stick their hand in the, I don't know, but maybe there could be something from the lionfish venom.
The real question, Greg, is where did they come up with the term booby trap? Was it originally used to catch women or? Birds? Was it birds? And that's why they're extinct? What I'm saying.
As far as my knowledge is concerned, booby trap came from an adult entertainment complex in Orlando, Florida that was here many years ago.
A unique building.
Nice. Never been there, honey. But I've heard of it. Anyway, yeah, I don't know.
It's one of those things that makes you go, huh? You know, what's that all about?
Yes. Those charges on the credit card, Eric. Yeah, those could be explained away somehow.
Somebody's captured my identity or stolen my identity.
Exactly. Hey, it's one of the highest rise of crime issues in the world today is identity theft. There's your excuse right there.
There's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yep. So anyway, I don't know. I say you take a lionfish and you cut off the fins like you're underwater, and you take one of those lionfish barbs, and you use that to stab somebody or stick the barbs into something you don't want them to touch, like sunken treasure or whatever kind of storyline thing that you have in your book. Wait, by the way, you obviously can't say the best ideas because you may use them. Is that what you're kind of alluding to there, or what, Eric?
Well, already did use them. Actually, I was literally finishing up the scene as I put that out, and I was like, I don't know how to make this work, and so I thought, all right, let's just do a little crowdsource. Storylining, and I was able to come up. I used a couple different people's ideas into one good one, but was able to booby trap something underwater that the bad guys didn't want the good guys to get a hold of.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and I'm not telling you any more than that. You have to read the book.
All right, fair enough. And once again, you go to Eric or booksbyeric.com and find out which one he's talking about, or just order them all. That's what you should do. You would enjoy
for $9.99. You can get them all.
Immensely, yes. Now, earlier, our guy from The Walking Dead, he had mentioned he had been to Cuba. I know Pup hasn't been to Cuba. Eric, you haven't been to Cuba, have you?
I have not. That's definitely on my go-to list, though.
Yeah. You know, our Canadian friends have. You know, the folks up in Canada, you know, the dive friends we have up there. Charlene has been on some of our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruises before. Her and her hubby were actually on the last trip that we were over in Ceiba. But anyway, she heard us talking the other day, sent me a viewer mail, and said, hey, man, I heard you talking about Cuba. You know, that's no big deal for us. We go anytime we want. In your face, loser. I'm kind of reading between the lines here. But she said it was it's pretty good there, and, you know, you may want to check it out. And actually, they're getting ready to go back over to Cuba here shortly. And are going to report for us firsthand right here on Scuba Radio. But she also mentioned another place, St. Croix. And, you know, I had our buddy Ed Buckley on a few weeks ago, and he did not mention this to me because Charlene brought this up, and I'm surprised he didn't bring this up because he knows I would eat up a story like this. And, you know, I love the swimming pigs in Staniel Key in the Bahamas, but evidently they have a pig on the island of St. Croix. Am I reading it? Yes, yeah. I think it's St. Croix, yeah. And they used to have a pig there that would drink beer that got to be 1,200 pounds. And they said, look, they don't promote it that heavily, or they didn't, you know, Charlene figured we may not want to talk about this too much because PETA would get all over him. But this pig was named Buster and was quite, quite popular on the island of St. Croix back in the day. And it's become like a tourist type of thing. He evidently drank beer. People would feed him beer, and he would bust the can open and drink the beer and ended up dying of cirrhosis from his liver. You can't make up a story like this. A beer-drinking pig named Buster, who was drunk all the time and died of cirrhosis of the liver. Now, they've created a monument to him, and now he has little piglet relatives that have carried on the beer-drinking tradition. You can pay, like, I don't know, $2 for a beer or something to give it to the pigs, and they drink it or something. I'm like, wow, Now, that would be a fun thing to experience on your surface interval, or is that just me? I don't know. What do you think there, pup? If nothing else, that could inspire another song, don't you think?
I'm definitely thinking, yeah, there's definitely a song in there somewhere with the Buster the Beer Drinking Pig.
Yeah,
No doubt about that. I'm curious how they figured out that he actually died of cirrhosis. Who would do an autopsy on a 1,200-pound pig that drinks beer to figure out why the heck he died? But whatever.
Well, I'm guessing they ate him. And then they realize, like, hey, look at that liver. We're not going to eat the liver. It's got cirrhosis.
That could be it. That could be it.
I think
it would be really fun, Greg, if we combine that with we meet the pig, we feed it a few beers, and then we grease the pig up, and then you have to ride it. That would be really entertaining.
Okay, that's just
totally entertaining.
That's kind of disturbing, but I don't know. That's right in line with
what
we typically
do in the country all the time. Yeah, they catch greased pigs.
Greased pigs. So they have been drinking beer, or the people that are riding them have been drinking beer.
I think the people that have, they're usually the ones drinking the beer. Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
So, tell me true. Are you guys for scuba?
What does that mean?
I'm like the unofficial scuba king of St. Bart. So, if you are for scuba, I take you out on the boat. I show you the coral reef. We have kind of like a scuba party.
You know, that sounds great, but we're not certified, so we're going to have to pass.
That is no biggie. I get you resort certified. Couple of hours.
Oh, I have always wanted to try it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy in the studio with me. Also, Jerry the Diver Guy has been standing by on online with us. And, Jerry, what's been going on in your neck of the woods? I know you have somebody you wanted to give a shout out to today. Is that right?
Or something? Well, we've had some
difficult times here lately. One of my wife's sister-in-law has been diagnosed with leukemia. And you know, we just all need to get out and give a little blood and try to help these people out that's going through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, all we can do is just send them great thoughts, right? And support your local leukemia fundraiser or cancer fundraiser any way you can, right?
Yeah. And she's been listening to the show quite a bit ever since she found out I've been on it, but she listens to the show quite a bit. And she's been wanting to get out and take classes, but unfortunately, lately, she ain't been able to do nothing.
Well, so yeah, that'll
we get her better and get her in the water.
Exactly. That'll give her something to look forward to. So hang in there, and if you know, that would get anybody better, make them feel better if they thought that, hey, look, I fight this thing, I get over it, and then I get Jerry the Diver Guy as my dive instructor. Heck, I would even get better.
You know,
but that would be a mental issue that I have. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, maybe a little nitrogen narcosis might help everybody.
That's true. It does. It brings everyone together, makes everyone happier, and that's what it's all about. Now, look, well, the other thing that makes people happy is rum, and Brooke from Tank Rum is on Scuba Radio right now. Brooke, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am good. Now, you guys are, you got about 3 weeks left in your fundable campaign to bring this Tank Rum to market. Or to develop it for, you know, so us divers have our own brand of rum, which is a sweet thing for sure, right?
Definitely.
Now, how are you doing? I mean, your goal is it's 60 grand, right? Is that what it is? Am I getting
there? Yeah, and we're doing really well. We had a great week. We're over 70% funded, so we're about 42,000 out of the 60.
Excellent.
And
okay.
We're trying to get everyone's help, divers, adventurers, anybody who needs an extra bottle of rum, which should be everyone.
Yeah, you never can have too much, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're taking pre-orders on the campaign website, which is fundable.com/tank-rum. And so anyone can pick one up. Well, over 21.
Yes, exactly. All right, or pick up several or whatever. But yeah. It's a cool little backing prize that you can get for helping them out to bring this. And then you can say, hey, I was there in the beginning when this thing slowly but surely took over the world. You know, it's a good thing. This tank, I love it. The packaging is phenomenal. We've talked about that quite a bit, where it's shaped like a dive tank, quite unique in that regard for sure. But how close are you? Have you finalized the rum recipe yet, or is that still in development?
Yeah, we have. We've been working on it for 2 years, and we hired Luis Ayala, who is a rum expert and consultant, and he helped us finalize it. And we should be ready for production once the campaign is successful.
Excellent. So you can fund it. Yeah. We actually have a little Scuba Radio backing prize there as well, where you can be a Scuba Radio correspondent for a day. You can basically have my gig for a week, which, you know, I get to take a week off and you get to take over the show. I don't know. It's something along those lines, but very valuable indeed. Nah, well, whatever. It's really about being a part of something kind of cool. And, you know, they got some big plans in the future where they could end up being, well, at every dive event in the world and keep everyone, like I said, bring a little smile to everyone's face. When they're not diving, they have a tendency, these divers, to drink like fish, so we might as well have a rum with our own stamp of approval on it, and I think the tank rum kind of fills that void quite well. And I'm guessing
thank you.
Yeah, and you would agree with me on that, I'm guessing. Right, Brooke? Yeah.
Yeah.
How much?
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. How much you know, personal sampling have you done yourself, or consulting, or research? Have you put a lot of personal?
Quite a bit. The recipe has evolved, I would say, 10 different times. So we have samples from each of the different batches, and it's been fun to see it evolve.
How many hangovers that entail exactly, Brooke?
Hangovers. Not a ton. It's hard to really taste the flavors when you've had too much alcohol. So at some point, you have to stop.
Right. Drink responsibly, so moderation.
Yeah, try to keep it without the hangover.
Got it. Understood. Yeah, it's really about the experience of tasting this stuff and the packaging. Cool. So, I mean, because once you drink it and you empty the bottle, you're going to want to have this thing sitting on your desk at home or your office. Kind of show your pride as a diver. It's another way to show our love of diving, I think, with what you guys have put together. Yeah. You're getting a lot of that kind of feedback, I guess, right?
Yep. Yeah. People love having the water bottle we've designed, and they're looking forward to the glass bottle. Just putting it on the shelf after you're done, just like you mentioned.
Absolutely. All right. Fundable.com/tank-rum. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Go there. Fund them. You got a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks left to be a part of history. And do good things. Or have something forward. Look forward to drink. When you're not diving, you might as well have your own special drink. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Big Show. Till next time, remember, it's always better. We're Bubble Boy.
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody. Each little snail, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. Yeah, we get lucky.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.